ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. A suspect now in custody after a mass shooting at a medical center in Atlanta. ABC's Steve Osunsame.
The first bullets tore through the busy lunch hour in Midtown Atlanta.
They're now advising the active shooter, a person shot.
It was right outside the reception desk of a doctor's office and into the waiting room.
They're advising a female shot. She's seriously bleeding, shot in the side and the back.
People had to choose between running for their lives and helping the wounded. All of them women. One who was 39 years old died. Four others were rushed to the hospital.
That victim has been identified as Amy St. Pierre, a young child killed in a shooting in Newark, New Jersey.
Sources say as authorities are responding to the home, an armed man on Elizabeth Avenue near Watson Avenue approached police. Newark cops then shot that armed man. He later died. When authorities entered the home, they found the 7-year-old dead and a man critically injured. A fourth gunshot victim went to Beth Israel Hospital.
ABC's Sifon Kim. This is ABC News. Families waiting years for public housing.
There are cities across the country that are trying to come up with solutions. In Philadelphia, for instance, they've come up with a pilot program. They randomly select applicants who are on the Philadelphia Housing Authority wait list, and they give them a monthly stipend calculated to bridge the gap between their income and housing expenses.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. In Michigan, three Nigerian men charged in an online sextortion case involving hundreds of victims. Officials say they posed as a girl on Instagram and convinced people to send nude pictures. One of the alleged victims, 17-year-old Jordan DeMay, who took his own life last year, his mother, Jennifer Buda.
We wanted everyone to be aware about sextortion and have those tough conversations with their families. So if it did happen to them, they knew to talk to someone.
If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, free confidential help is available 24 hours a day. Call or text the National Lifeline at 988. Lionel Moise, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. University Wisconsin Health and Unity Point Health Meritor are ending their mask requirements. Unity Point says the public health environment surrounding the coronavirus is getting better. Republican lawmakers are taking 545 of Governor Evers' state budget proposals off the table. The Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee took the first votes on the spending plan yesterday. Senator Dewey Strobel says non-fiscal items like free school lunch and Brewer Stadium maintenance don't belong in the spending plan.
When you go from a $7 billion surplus to a $4 billion deficit in 2 years, that's just crazy.
The budget debate is expected to play out for several more weeks. In sports, the Rockies beat the Brewers last night 3-2. Eric Lauer starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Finding great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack, so they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there. outcome ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Indiana and Ohio, and found Brower Food, Archway Richwood LLC, and Bell Restaurant Group LLC liable. The division said the 10-year-olds who worked at McDonald's restaurant run by Brower Food in Louisville sometimes worked as late as 2 a.m. and prepared and distributed food orders, cleaned the stores, worked at the drive-through window, and operated the register. I say to you, there are children and there are families in our society who have been left out. And the fact that we have laws that have now made it possible for even more children to be abused and to work in sweatshops and meatpacking plants at the ages of 14 and 15 years old is part of what's at the root of all of this. The laws and the politicians, many of them who are in the positions that make it possible for corporations to do the things that they do, are part of why we're dealing with this, Senator Taylor.
I do agree that corporate greed plays a role. Corporate welfare that often doesn't get talked about plays a role. I want to say then on the backs of many individuals who are in the financial situations that we've talked about that are affected by all of the different perspectives that's been brought up, you're dealing with, let's pull Wisconsin in, and then I want to come back to the child labor issue that you brought up because I have conflicting, you know, perspectives on that. The GOP plan that we're looking to do, they're looking to do in Wisconsin to help municipalities and counties The challenge that we have, if you look at what's going to happen in Milwaukee, they're basically asking people to take on a sales tax that's going to be equivalent to nearly 3 cents. You know, when you consider the amount that the city would get and the amount that the county would get. And the truth of the matter is, taxpayers, you know, the voters may or may not vote to give that, you know, those amounts to the city and the county. And then what? You know, so we've gone from the GOP not willing to give 0.5% to Milwaukee County residents when they asked for it in a referendum of 0.1%. I mean, 1 cent. They didn't do it even then, and now they want to give them nearly 3 cents under this pretense that it's going to, you know, help Milwaukee city and county, when it's still, we're going to be short nearly $20 million. So, you know, I think there has to be a better way to add on the financial challenges to an already impoverished community that's already, you know, going through what they are. I think we have to have a state government that realizes, Robin Voss, Speaker Voss says, that, you know, it's not anybody's problem but Milwaukee. Well, that's not true. What Milwaukee gives to the state, we don't get our fair share, equitable share back, and that's an issue. Now, I want to transition back to what you were talking about on child welfare. You know, even in Wisconsin, there was an issue, and there was companies found to be doing child labor law violations and were fined in Wisconsin, not at a McDonald's. And so it's something to see that it's happening at businesses in Wisconsin, but even in organizations like a, you know, McDonald's. What I will say, as someone who grew up in a family business, and I can look back now, and I'm just going, but I was paid. Now, I want to be clear. I was paid an hourly rate for a lot of my work in the family business. But, you know, in the beginning, I was paid penny candy in the grocery store, you know, and I thought I was getting over on my grandmama, you know, getting all the candy I wanted, so I had that. But I was 10, 11. You know, I was a preteen and then a teenager, you know, working in the family business and then later in the community. And so I do want to say that I do believe that learning work ethic is important, you know, but I do not believe that we should be abusing, you know,
so,
abusing
Senator Taylor,
our children.
In the family business is different than in
correct.
Somebody else's business. And the fact that we have
correct.
Not created laws commensurate with penalties and fines that will prevent people from doing this. The fines are minuscule. And the damage that are being... excuse me?
I said that part, exactly.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
So hang on, yeah. Let's go to Karina. Hey, Karina, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I tell you this. Honestly, not to blame anybody or anything, but No Children Left Behind started with Bush. Walker even worsened the education system in Wisconsin. My son was in school at the time, and I've seen how degraded the system went, how less and less they were teaching the science and the math and the art, all, and the only what I hear from Republicans how to improve it is to cut off the taxes, so we'll pay for education for our school, for our kids even less. So that's what it is. It's just I agree. We have to look for solving that problem, because I've been a teacher in the college, instructor for 7 years, and I had adults who couldn't read, who couldn't do simple math, who couldn't do simple percentage. How are you going to go shopping for a discount if you don't know what you're buying it for? So simple, elementary skills, kids and adults do not have after they even graduate the high school, and all of it going down from Republican side. I'm sorry.
Hey, Corinna, thank you very
fact.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Hey, Cassandra, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And Lena, it has been a real pleasure to have you on the air and answer questions about Milwaukee. I do live in Dane County, but it's good to hear what's going on in Milwaukee. There's something that I wanted to ask you about, because you are an elected leader, and that is the state of our housing economy in the state of Wisconsin right now. For middle-income families, it is very difficult to purchase a home right now. One reason is because there is a credit freeze right now. A lot of the regional banks, they are under pressure because of their the way they have invested, and they are not as liquid because they have poured their excess cash into treasury bills, and many of them have been long-term treasury bills that are not giving them the kinds of profits for them to materialize in order for them to stay afloat efficiently and to remain liquid. So that's part of the problem. Now, the second part is something that a colleague who is in the real estate business shared with me, and that is another reason why purchasing homes is so difficult has a lot to do with, over the years, the appraisers. Many of the appraisers refuse to reject home offers and state that they were overvalued. And so right now we're in a state of affairs where there are homes on the market. They can't be sold. A potential buyer cannot purchase a home at that value, because the bank will not approve of that amount for that particular home. And so what that leaves is an investor, someone who is very liquid with the ability to purchase the home. And so now we have a situation where there are people who cannot really potentialize the American dream and purchase a home. And so what do you think about some kind of legislation that would really audit many of these bank appraisers?
So, Cassandra, hold the thought. Senator Taylor, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Let you continue on the other side. We'll be right back.
Because the world seems cold.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising,
used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on if I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. State Senator Lena Taylor, thanks for hanging on. Cassandra, were you done? Senator Taylor, you understand her question?
Yes, I did. She was asking in the end about, you know, whether or not it's possible to do some auditing. I think I overall understand what she was saying. So to Karina,
she's still on the line.
Say, oh, okay. Maybe she wants to finish up just to make sure.
Cassandra?
Oh, no, I was finishing. I'll listen off the air. Thanks a lot.
All right,
Karina.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. So with Cassandra, I want to get to that. I want to start with Karina. I want to say don't apologize, Karina. You were spot on. There is no question that, you were spot on. And so, Cassandra, housing is one of the hugest issues that we have in Wisconsin. And for the two decades I've been a legislator, we've talked about the need for us to deal with both homeownership and affordable housing for our residents throughout the state of Wisconsin. And WEDA, Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, has tried to address some of those issues, but it has just not been something that we've done well. So, you know, audits are always important, in my opinion, because you need accountability. And my father has a statement that he's made all of my life.
Never, never expect what you don't inspect.
Amen. Amen. You can't expect what you don't inspect. And so audits give you an opportunity to inspect so that you can make sure that your expectations are being met or can be met. So I don't disagree with you that auditing is important, but I also believe solutions that go right to home ownership are things in, I'll use my community, for example. I think that we could take city properties and we could do more. Now, I know most recently they put some things in place, but I don't think it's just developers. I think you have to take your ordinary citizens and your city employees, your county employees, and encourage them to become homeowners in the communities that you're in, to go back to the GOP plan that they're talking about, because you don't want to do it with sales tax. Those are repressive. You want to do it with people becoming homeowners so that you're getting revenue in your communities that way and businesses coming in. So you're spot on about housing. We've got to do something about it, Cassandra. Audits would be great, but solutions that help people to become homeowners, because credit challenges exist for more people because of student loans and other stuff too.
So let's get to this, Senator Taylor. On tomorrow, I'll be joined by County Executive David Crowley at 8 o'clock. Now, the recombobulation area, how local governments fare under the supplemental aid proposals. There's this misconception across the state that the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are going to be basking in these resources, that we are going to be the ones who are going to be getting an undue percentage of these dollars that they're talking about. And as I'm looking at this, here's a chart that, and these charts basically let me see what.
Yeah, they break down what different municipalities
are going to get. And so for instance, if you live in Florence, Wisconsin, you get over 200% per capita change.
Increase.
200%. While Milwaukee,
some communities are getting a 3,000%
increase, while Milwaukee is at the bottom of that inverted pyramid. For people who seem to think that Milwaukee is going to be getting all those resources. There's also in Adams County, 2,000% increase, Milwaukee and Lafayette County, 0% increase. They have led people to believe that these resources, and this is why I have such a problem with Robin Voss's and Republicans in trying to mislead people, that these dollars are going to be coming to the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County and not to these other areas. And it's nothing could be further from the truth. And it's one of the reasons why we have to get the truth out.
It is a misrepresentation. There's no question about that. I think it's a larger misrepresentation that the state does not have any responsibility for the place that Milwaukee is in. It's not because of just the judgment of individuals locally. It's the kind of parameters that state government has put on the Milwaukee and other municipalities and counties. But it's also another piece that I think is really important. It's the disproportionate percentages in so many different formulas that have a direct effect on Milwaukee to, quote unquote, skim dollars.
So, Senator Taylor, hold the thought. We've got to go to another break. When we come back, I'll give you the opportunity.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter where you are, no matter how far.
Don't worry, baby.
Just call my name, I'll be there in a hurry. You don't have to worry, cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Senator Lena Taylor. Senator Taylor, one thing that I think I can get you to agree with me on is my music is the bomb, right?
Oh, my goodness, your music is the bomb. I was just saying, I was jamming the other day when I was on Earl's show. And today, I need you to know, look, I forget sometimes because I put the phone on mute, you know, while I'm not speaking.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, give extra feedback or whatever. And I need you to know, sometimes I forget that I'm supposed to be coming back on until I hear your voice because I'll be like jamming in the music.
Yeah, yeah,
I need you to know, your engineer is the bomb, okay?
Yeah. So anyway, let's, Senator Taylor, what is at the root of these conversations and that have been going on for quite some time with Robin Voss and others about the surplus. And so how much of this is about the surplus, Senator Taylor?
It mostly is not about the surplus. It's mostly about just the whole funding formula that they're going to use for dealing with local government. And so what they've decided is, well, we're not going to really change the funding formula for local governments. We're just going to come up with a way for a pot of money for those who have shown efficiency and collaboration efforts, and we're going to give them some dollars for that. So what does that mean? For one of my communities, it's only $20,000. And so that's not a lot of money for, you know, Glendale or other entities, or at least that's the number that I will share with me. But either way it goes, Milwaukee will still have a deficiency. And I'm just saying we have to push back, in my opinion. And I respect that, you know, the county executive will come and talk about the work that he's done, and he will, you know, I'm certain you'll end up having the mayor, at least I hope, to talk about the work that he's done and, you know, what they are suggesting. But in the end, I think all options have to be fully articulated, because I don't know that on the backs of our people adding about 3 cents tax on all of the different types of big purchases and purchases that happen when you have people also paying a sales tax for the Wisconsin Center District, you know, and let's not forget that they're talking about what they may want to do for the Brewers. I mean, like, how many cents can people take in sales tax?
So it will bring it up to somewhere around 7 cents. I guess if you look at Chicago and other places, it's 10, 11.
At least
but
eight. At least eight to nine. When you consider, yeah.
Okay, so.
If you're adding a three to the 5 points.
Right.
What are we at, 5.6 now?
Yeah, and so, yes, I mean, you know, Chicago and other places, Chicago's a much bigger city, and theirs is somewhere around 11. But I guess what I would say to you, Senator Taylor, is they're now all of a sudden, as you stated earlier, willing to talk about giving a 2% sales tax, when initially years ago the conversation came up, it was 1, and they were diametrically opposed to that. Absolutely not.
And to 0.5, even to 0.5.
Yes. And so, what changed? Why are they now willing, the same guy, Robin Voss, who was, again, diametrically opposed to any of those things. So when did he get religion? And now all of a sudden he's willing to hear it.
So I think a couple of things. One, you know, they try to pretend that it's because Barrett and ably are no longer the people who are the executives. Let's be clear. It's because Milwaukee has already, I started sounding this alarm in 2016, was that we were
a record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
That's why I ran against them, and his judgment.
No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power.
They were willing to do the worst voter suppression
for a hand up
we've ever seen.
Apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
And when you see that video, what I say in that video in 2007 and 2008, when I was running, I was saying that where the county was and the issues that we have. Now when you listen to David talk, it's like all of this, you know, is going on. And he's like, this is what's been going on for about 20 years. He's not wrong. The only reason that the county is in a slightly better position than the city is because we had to deal with those really difficult cuts and challenges that Walker did when he was a county executive.
Yeah, and selling off property, and selling off assets.
And not doing maintenance, deferring maintenance. It created and exacerbated issues to be where they were. I said back then that we needed to rethink what we were doing. Said back then we needed to deal with the House of Correction differently. So anyway, all of those things put us where we are. And so even though a sales tax may be something that a type of revenue, oppressive revenue stream that other municipalities and counties have, we have to ask, in a place where poverty is huge, is this what we want to do? And if we want to do it, do we want to say it should be something at almost 3 cents being added on top of, you know, that there are some other things coming.
So Senator in addition Taylor, to that. Let's say this is denied. Let's say that the referendum is shot down. Now what? Let me just say this. So I remember seeing Detroit.
You know, hit it on the head.
I remember clearly Detroit going into almost receivership. Are we talking mm-hmm. about that?
Yes, and we've been talking about it, or should have, in 2016. In the same way that they refused to talk about the need to deal with the juvenile justice issue, you can't put your head in the sand as a city or a county executive leader. You can't put your head in the sand to your real realities. Our real realities require that we need new revenue and new influx of people in our city if we're going to save it. We are in a place that can make us like a Detroit or Gary, Indiana, or many of those types of places. What's going to happen if you add on nearly 3 cents or even more if we do something for the Brewers is people aren't going to buy in Milwaukee. They're going to buy in the suburbs. And ultimately, this is going to move us to metropolitan type of government, because in the end, it's going to fail.
So
even the plan that the GOP, let me finish this statement. Even in the plan that the GOP have provided, we still have at least a $20 million 17, something like that, whatever, just less than $20 million shortfall. We are still not addressing the issue to a solution, and that's my position.
David from Mequon. Good morning, David. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Senator Taylor. Really quickly, when you talk about Chicago, it should be noted, even with their almost, I think it's around 11% sales tax, they're broke. They are literally broke. They got almost junk status for their bonds now. But that being the case, you know, this is not just a Milwaukee issue with the pensions. This is a nationwide issue. It should be noted that consequently, one thing that I'll just bring it up to you, Earl, is the population of Milwaukee has shrunk now almost 50 years. And so, and what I do worry about with the pension system
is that, and I'm sure Senator Taylor would agree with this, you know, it's also connected to the fact that, you know, if the stock market plunges, let's say we have a big crash, we're going into a recession, okay? So the city pension is tied in with the stock market. If that crashes, guess what? Taxpayers are going to be on the hook to make up the difference.
Well, you know, David, we just saw that in 2008.
Yes. And so that's one thing, like I said, I think the city, along with, you know, some of the other officials, will have to have, as I call it, come to Jesus
well,
moment
so let me
and
ask
say,
you,
hey,
do
listen.
Do you think for 1 minute, and Senator Taylor has said this, that the state of Wisconsin doesn't somehow feel the pain of the economic engine of the state in the throes of what we are talking about? Do you think that well, doesn't then impact these other towns and cities of the
sure,
state?
Sure, sure. Of course, it has an impact. But I will say this: whoever is running the pension system for the state of Wisconsin is doing a phenomenal job. They've gotten through us all the bad stuff, good stuff, everything. They made the right decisions, and I would have confidence that, you know, whether it be Cavalier Johnson or David Crowley, work with the state and try to say, okay, let's, you know, they, because they talked about
they've been working with the state,
combining those pensions into the state
well,
into the state
okay,
level.
Okay, Senator Taylor, you want to respond to David?
So first of all, I want to say that the pension component is part of what's in the plan. It is to put new people in the state pension instead of the city's process. I will say that many people don't want to deal with the conversation of what are all of the possibilities of what may happen in regards to dealing with that pension issue. And of course, the desire is to save the pension and save people's interest. But if we don't get from the state the fair, equitable dollars that we should, and we instead are put in a position that's still going to lead us to the same place, but just at a slower pace, then what are we doing? And that is my argument. I don't see it. So I'm somebody that has to be convinced that the plan and the concept that Mayor Johnson is already agreeing to, that it's the way to go. I just don't see it in what I've heard so far at all. I think there's another way.
So then I would ask you, Senator Taylor, what would be the alternative?
So I think we do have to have a conversation about just what we just heard from the last caller and what you asked. What if we don't meet the responsibility? What if the voters say no? What does that look like and where does that lead us? I'm just going to be honest. No one is having that real conversation because they don't want that. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know that voters are going to agree to almost a 3-cent sales tax. That's what they're being asked to consider. And I don't see people willing to say yes to that, no matter how much money a campaign pours in. And so my question then is, now I need experts to help me to answer your question, Earl. Well, what if? Because if that happens, I need to know, what do I have to be able to do as a state legislator? Because I think we have to give permission for bankruptcy. And if not, receivership, what does that look like? And who would that be? And last I checked, some people say Detroit is in a better situation than they were.
Yeah, but you know what, Senator Taylor?
They got receivership. Earl, all I'm saying is we have to deal with all of that. And I don't know, when you go to say, you know, well, what if, sir, I need those facts.
So I also know.
Because what I do know that 3 cents on everyday life for
right.
my constituents,
we got
they
go to
already
break,
have
Senator
the problem.
Got to be right back.
Okay. Ain't no valley low enough.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes?
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 59, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 45. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 59. Chance for scattered rain showers Saturday and Sunday with highs in the mid-60s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 53.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go back to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Tom, you say what?
Well, Earl, I want to say three things. One thing, Republican policies are what makes people more dependent on the government. You know, all of their policies that they do are cutting regular people. And that's what actually makes it so we have to have more dependency on the government. So all those people out there that think that, you know, Republican policies are good, no. They basically make it so sooner or later people are going to have to be dependent on the government. The other thing is Walker did exactly what he wanted to do to the state of Wisconsin. He divided and conquered the state. That's exactly what he said to Widow Hendricks. Anyone can look that up on YouTube. Widow Hendricks and what Scott Walker was going to do, which is divide and conquer the state. And the third thing, Earl, a lot of people need to start realizing that, you know what, maybe they're not part of the lucky sperm club. And what I mean by that is either millionaires or billionaires or even people that are taught work ethic and things like that. There are people out there. And what do you want to do with these people? What do you want to do with the number of people out there that may not be good parents? I mean, we can't control what it is that people do. We can't have them where it's complete, where, you know, they're not stepping up because we don't have the ability for them to have a middle class life.
They're still citizens of this country.
What type of society do we want?
They're still citizens of this country, man. I mean, that, you know, that's the bottom line.
Right. Exactly. And when Senator, you know, Taylor even says, okay, she grew up with a family even that had, you know, very good work ethic and stuff. I did too. I was lucky. I was lucky that I got my dad and my mom that I got. Some people aren't so lucky. And you know what? It's an arrogance in some ways that, you know, oh, I did it on my own. Well, no, you had your parents you know, support, whether it's one parent, two parent, whatever. There's some people out there that don't have any type
of
parenting.
Yeah, so I got to go, man. Thank you very much for the calls. You know, Senator Taylor, you know, I remember clearly when Detroit went into receivership and how long it took and what Detroit never got back to what it was. And so, you know, is it, that's what's at the, you know, at the root of this debate is it's easy.
But we're not having that. We're not having a debate that's around all of the facts. And I think that's the piece that I want to say. We're given a takeout meal to say, oh, this is the only option. And we've not had that full dialogue about it. And your last caller, was it Tom? He was spot on.
You know, Senator Taylor, you know, whether the city of Milwaukee goes into receivership, I don't think there's anybody. We don't know the outcome of that. We certainly know that it's, you know, it can happen, right? I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
That's the part that I think is very important, though, Earl. It can still happen in the other way because we still have about a $20 million shortfall, even in the other way. The shared revenue formula for all municipalities and counties is still not fixed. And on the backs of the people that we're having a discussion about what do we do to help people who might have been born already in a pit that they're digging out or trying to climb out of that they didn't choose, but they were just born into. How do they dig out so that they can get to the American dream? All I'm saying is, can they afford a 3 more cents plus whatever we do for the Brewers? That's what I'm saying.
So my thing clearly, Senator Taylor, is the Brewers part of it. You know, I mean, to me, you know, the fact that many people who live in the city where the Brewers are, don't go to Brewer games, you know, and so, yeah, those are resources. And you know, even though American Family Field is in Milwaukee, I to say that we should put $240 million or more, we've had this discussion decades ago when it came to should we tear down County Stadium or should we build what was then Miller Park.
You ain't even got to go back that far. We just did it with the Bucks arena.
Yeah, that's correct.
And many of the taxes or revenue that the state gets does not benefit Milwaukee, i.e. we didn't get a good percentage of what comes back even on that. So all I'm trying to say is that's not the whole picture. Don't pretend like, oh, it's only 2 cents. Well, you got to add it all up so people know what they're saying yes to. That's all I'm saying. I believe people deserve to know all the facts so they can make educated judgments. You can't misrepresent by compartmentalizing it and not dealing with it in the totality of people's circumstances.
So, Senator Taylor, I'm sorry,
yes,
to your credit, It is a reason that you're on, you know, the lines, because you've been there. You know what's going on. You've been at the state for 20 years. You know what the discussions are. People have a right to know. I understand it's a representative government. I understand that we elect people, but people make decisions for us. But when the decisions are this critically important and that will impact for decades to come, we should get all the information that we can possibly get.
That's all I'm saying. And Earl, you know what? I knew it. I told your engineer, I told him when I called in, I said, I'm not going to be able to say that long. And I knew when I get on with you, Earl, and your callers, I just love the time that we have. But I am trying to save our democracy with some bipartisan pieces of legislation related to elections today.
Well, we'll bring you back on, Senator Taylor. I'll bring you back on, I promise.
Yes, and I'd love to talk about that when
okay.
I come. I love will to talk about that too.
Thank you very all much, right, now, as well. Always. All
thank
right.
You.
All right.
Okay. Bye bye.
No, Calvin. You know, I love our listeners, and I love the conversations that you guys generate. Like I said before, it's not about me. Never been about me. It's always about the people. And thank you, Calvin, as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. The county executive, David Crowley, county executive of Milwaukee County, will be joining us in addition to Sandy Williams. See you later.
This house is in need of a few upgrades. Windows, doors, even the basement needs a little TLC. With the Inflation Reduction Act, you can have all these assessed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of